First, the return of a writer who in 2009 assured us she would not write a novel again, a declaration which sent the many fans of this British literary institution into abject despair. Ever since her auspicious debut, A Summer Birdcage, in the 1960s, chronicling the trials and tribulations of her generation of young women, has been Dame Margaret Drabble's natural habitat. In her latest novel, she returns to that terrain, but with the benefit of a long life, well-lived and rich with experience. The Pure Gold Baby spans the decades since the swinging 60s, with the tale of Jess and her daughter Anna, the eponymous child of the title, around whose disability Margaret traces changing attitudes to caring and community. So what prompted her to put a child with special needs, along with the challenges of mothering, at the heart of her new novel?
It's a subject that's always interested me. I mean, I've known children and parents with children with difficulties, and I'm just very interested and often very moved by the way people bring up their children and the way the children survive and grow up. So it was a subject that was just naturally near my heart.
Disability is quite an emotive subject, but this story is written from the perspective of a narrator, one of Jess's close friends, in the first person plural, or often in the first person plural, which sort of distances us as readers from that emotional cut and thrust. And I wondered why you'd chosen to take this sort of detached view.
I think I was taking a neighbourhood view. I didn't want to write it from Jess's point of view completely, because there would be all sorts of problems about going into her emotions and her focusing on her relationship with Anna. And really, I was just as interested with the group's reaction to the mother and child, and indeed to attitudes of parenting throughout the neighbourhood and a kind of collective voice. I didn't realise I was doing it for quite a long time. I started off in the third person with Jess, and then I thought, this isn't really right. I haven't got the right to tell it from her point of view. So I've done a more complicated point of view.
The narrator starts her story in the 1960s and then through the novel reminds us how attitudes and mores have altered, you know, from ignorance about cholesterol and prolific smokers everywhere to the independence children enjoyed. Why do you think that attitudes have changed so dramatically in the intervening years?
I think medicine has a lot to answer for, genes and medicine. I mean, when we were young mothers, we believed that nurture was as important, if not more important, than nature. And along come the geneticists and tell us, no, 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 the genetic doom is yours.
Segment 1. First, the return of a writer who in 2009 assured us she would not write a novel again, a declaration which sent the many fans of this British literary institution into abject despair. Ever since her auspicious debut, A Summer Birdcage, in the 1960s, chronicling the trials and tribulations of her generation of young women, has been Dame Margaret Drabble's natural habitat. In her latest novel, she returns to that terrain, but with the benefit of a long life, well-lived and rich with experience. The Pure Gold Baby spans the decades since the swinging 60s, with the tale of Jess and her daughter Anna, the eponymous child of the title, around whose disability Margaret traces changing attitudes to caring and community.
Segment 2.
So what prompted her to put a child with special needs, along with the challenges of mothering, at the heart of her new novel?
It's a subject that's always interested me. I mean, I've known children and parents with children with difficulties, and I'm just very interested and often very moved by the way people bring up their children and the way the children survive and grow up. So it was a subject that was just naturally near my heart.
Disability is quite an emotive subject, but this story is written from the perspective of a narrator, one of Jess's close friends, in the first person plural, or often in the first person plural, which sort of distances us as readers from that emotional cut and thrust. And I wondered why you'd chosen to take this sort of detached view.
Segment 3.
I think I was taking a neighbourhood view. I didn't want to write it from Jess's point of view completely, because there would be all sorts of problems about going into her emotions and her focusing on her relationship with Anna. And really, I was just as interested with the group's reaction to the mother and child, and indeed to attitudes of parenting throughout the neighbourhood and a kind of collective voice. I didn't realise I was doing it for quite a long time. I started off in the third person with Jess, and then I thought, this isn't really right.
Segment 4.
I haven't got the right to tell it from her point of view, so I've done a more complicated point of view.
The narrator starts her story in the 1960s and then through the novel reminds us how attitudes and mores have altered, you know, from ignorance about cholesterol and prolific smokers everywhere to the independence children enjoyed. Why do you think that attitudes have changed so dramatically in the intervening years?
I think medicine has a lot to answer for, genes and medicine. I mean, when we were young mothers, we believed that nurture was as important, if not more important, than nature. And along come the geneticists and tell us, no, 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 the genetic doom is yours.